traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. Scott Miller here, live from Delray Beach, Florida. Got a lot of good things going on this week. Good weekend. Got the Pegasus coming up this weekend, and got a lot of good racing, a lot of good race cards, you know, when you see all these big stake races that are coming along. So and that's going to be good, the Pegasus from Gulfstream. We had a lot of good things this week happen to us. And if you go to the website, IENTV.org, on the International Equine Report, you can see the 53rd Eclipse Awards ceremony from West Palm Beach, Florida, presented by FanDuel. TV, John Deere, Keeneland, and the Jockey Club. It's a real good program. You can see all the trainers and who won what award and who was Horse of the Year, and we're going to leave that up until tonight. And it's really a good program. You can see who the superstars are and who the superstars weren't. That's more the question right there. And then if you go on down, scroll down, you can see Quest for Equine Gold. We have right now live from Wellington, Florida, the 32,000 Dodd Technology CS4 meter and half jump off. It's really good. It's live from Wellington. You can see what beautiful weather we have in here, and you know who's doing what, and it's really a good little program that we have there. And remember, that's live too. Then we have the Smart Pack USEF Horse of the Year Awards. That's down on our Domestic Equine Report that we have there. It's really good. Tells you who wins, who doesn't. That's what I like about this time of the year. We start here in January finding out who was what and what sport and who did what and who is going to do what this year. You know, it's going to be a good one. Then we got live racing from Aqueduct from New York. And we got live racing from Oakland Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And we got live racing from Tampa Bay Downs in Tampa Bay. You can see all the latest action and who's winning and who's not. And, you know, just how big the crowds are. I see everything. Then we got our Triple Crown tradition. We're going to be updating that this weekend with new recipes and our timeline of what we're doing on that project. Then we got an international and domestic equestrian calendar. I tell you what, we got some real nice articles here that we're doing. That we got the 2024 Summer Olympics coming up. We're following two riders there. That's from FEI and USEF. And then one of the most interesting things that we've done here in a long time is from United States Polo Association, the Sport of Horses episode tells you all about polo. You know what it takes. It tells you about the horses and the people. And it's a lot of good programming there. Very interesting. You know, to see how they do it and why they do it. And it's pretty good. And then tomorrow from Lexington, Kentucky, we have the road to the $1 million event for the Quarter Horse Association. That'll be in Lexington, Kentucky. Tomorrow it'll be here live on our website. And it's going to be interesting. You're going to see some cowboys and cowgirls that really know how to get things done. And I mean, it is just unbelievable. And they put a lot of work into it. It's not like training a thoroughbred or a standardbred. They have to train years instead of months. They got to train years just to get where they're at. And that'll be live tomorrow on the 27th, live from Lexington, Kentucky. On there. And then if you go down to how they get there, the 2024 Kentucky Derby, you got a couple little links there that you can go to at Churchill Downs. Make your plans now. There's a lot of things going on there. We're just a couple of months away from the Derby. I think we're like 99 days, I believe it is, from Derby. But start making your plans now, because those hotel rooms and restaurant reservations and seating reservations at Churchill goes pretty quick. And this is the time of year that you can wheel and deal and get some good seating there at Churchill. And let me recommend this to you. Everybody says they like to be up in the clubhouse, you know, or Millionaire's Row, and they like to be in all those places. Well, let me tell you something. You can have a good time just down in the general seating area, out on the deck there. You've got some good seats there. And I tell you, it's a nice day. Hopefully the weather's good. And you can go out, sit out in the sun. You got a nice view of the track, close to the track, and it's really worth it. And I'll be honest with you, instead of sitting down all the time, it's kind of nice to be able to get up and walk out and get a beer, or get a sandwich, get a soda, get some ice cream, whatever you want to get. It's all right there handy to you. The restrooms are really easy to get in and get out of there. And, that's really the way to go. It's just the general admission. I wouldn't go into the infield, because the infield's kind of rough. But general admission there at Churchill is really good. And if you go to ChurchillDowns.com, they got all that information that you would need to get your seats and get going, getting enjoying the Derby. And then this week, we did have the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn Park, part of our Derby prep season. But with weather and snow and ice, they had to change it, and that's now going to be held February 3rd. Instead of, last week. And we also had the Holy Bull live from Gulfstream Park on the 3rd. We also have the Withers live from New York on the 3rd. And we also will have the Robert Lewis from Santa Anita live on the 3rd. So we've got a lot of live racing next week, next weekend. So that'll be good. We got just a lot of things that are going, with us and for us. So we're liking that. And I tell you, it's getting so crazy around here. You don't know which way to go, as far as the horse business is concerned. A lot of people trying to, have a good year this year and get in the right frame of mind and, get the right horses and the right people. And it's tough this time of year. Unfortunately, some of the horses that we thought were going to turn out to be good, are not making it through, the initial charge for, the Kentucky Derby. So it's going to be interesting to see what we have there. And, like we were talking about before, the weather this time of year is really tough. In the last few months, the horse industry has been fighting a lot of weather, snow, ice, rain, cold. A lot of trainers had to stop training for a few days. They moved some races from one weekend to the next, and it just makes it tough. One good thing for a trainer, he said, "Oh, Mr. Owner, ooh, that weather's been bad, been rough. We're just a little bit behind, that's the only good thing about bad weather. It gives you an excuse, somewhere you can point a finger at, and the weather can't argue back with you. That's the good thing. If you blame a person or, a situation that can argue back with you, that's no good. But the weather can't argue back with you. It's fact. You say, "Mr. Owner, hey, the weather is bad. We missed a few days and all," but you try to make it up. And we're starting like it was a Southwest moves to February 3rd as Oaklawn Park navigates weather. After racing was canceled January 19th through the 21st due to severe weather, winter weather at Oaklawn Park moved the Southwest Stakes from January 27th to February 3rd. The $800,000 Southwest Stakes serves as Oaklawn's second of four prep races on the road to the Kentucky Derby, carrying a point scale of 20 points to the winner, 10 to second, 6 to third, 4 to fourth, and 2 to fifth. And, so now they had to change that. And from the 27th to the 3rd, is really not a big deal for the horse. You don't lose anything in your training. That's a setback that you can get, you know, that you can get through, and it's better that you, you know, race or train on a good track opposed to a bad track. So, you know, there's really not any, you know, any setback on that, which is interesting, you know, to see. The Southwest Stakes is $800,000at Oakland. It's a lot of money. It really pushes the envelope, you know, to where you have to go. And then February 3rd will prove an important day for the Kentucky Derby Trail. Most probably the most significant weekend that we'll have between here and Kentucky Derby. Now, you know, February 3rd is a big day. Like I said, it will host the Kentucky Derby prep races previously scheduled for that day are the Wither Stakes at Aqueduct, the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream, the Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita will all be run on the same day and the same point scale. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that comes out, you know, with that. I'm telling you, you know, this Derby Trail is going to get real fine this year. That's for sure. A lot of trainers have had to make a lot of moves and make decisions with the owners, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm going to name me a horse. Here he comes down the stretch. It's going to win. Naira unveils Aqueduct Spring Stakes schedule. This is important. This is important because it gives them a time to get all the right trainers in and, you know, get everything set up for the public. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this comes out. They're all going to be run at Aqueduct Racetrack. It's going to feature 12 stakes races worth $2.6 million in purses. They have increased the purses of six stakes to be contested during the Aqueduct Spring Meet. Four listed events have received $50,000 boosts, including the Top Flight Stakes, the Danger Hour Stakes, Plenty of Gray Stakes, and Memories of Silver Stakes. This staff and the Woodhaven Stakes each have been increased by $25,000, raising their purse to $175,000. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get these stakes a little more money to them, and get you know, some outside trainers coming into New York. The spring meet at Aqueduct will open on Thursday, April the 4th, and continue through Sunday, April the 28th, with live racing conducted Tuesday through Sunday. The spring stakes action kicks off with the Wood Memorial Day, which is a Derby prep race day, card on April the 6th, featuring five stakes topped by the 99th running of the $750,000 Wood Memorial Stakes. It's a mile and an eighth for three-year-olds. It will offer a point system for the Derby of 100 points to the winner, 50 to second, 25 to third, and 15 to fourth, and 10 to fifth that they'll have there. Kentucky Derby qualifying points go to the top five finishers in all the prep races. So what it does is it gives, it gives you a chance to catch up points, tighten up, you know, get some assurance points. It's a mind game for the owners and trainers. And I mean, it is a tough one because you got all kinds of spring meets like this showing up, especially like at Keeneland and, you know, Santa Anita and all across the country. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Now, the final two weekends of the spring meet will feature a return of the Turf Stakes with four one-mile races scheduled, including the List Stakes, $150,000 Danger Hour for the older horses on Saturday, April the 20th, and the Listed Races, which is $150,000 Plenty of Grace for older fillies and mares on Sunday the 21st. So, you know, we're covering grass and dirt there, you know, with them there at Aqueduct. And, you know, it's good that the trainers and owners can sit down with the racetracks and the racing secretaries and, you know, let them know what kind of horses they're bringing in. And it really makes a big difference, you know, when you can really write some nice races and get the good people in it. And not saying that, you know, the bad people are bad, but, you know, what it does is it gets a top quality horse in. And that's what all the tracks are doing now. They're getting real quality horses. And believe you me, there's enough of them out there. You know, it's just got to sit down with the owners and trainers and say, hey, look, you know, what can we do to help you get your horse here? You know, what kind of races can we offer? Let's talk about it. And that's what they do. You know, there, for example, like it, purses increased for the Belmont Stakes Festival at Saratoga. The New York Racing Association announced January 24th the stakes schedule for the 2024 Belmont Stakes Racing Festival to be held at Saratoga June 6th through the 9th. So the Belmont's staying pretty much within its time frame as it has before in the past, but the only thing difference is that they're racing it at Saratoga. Instead of going a mile and a half, they'll be going a mile and a quarter for the Belmont that day. And they're reconstructing Belmont's parks, track, and grandstands, and all the good stuff there that they do. Highlighted by the at Saratoga, the Belmont Stakes Festival, highlighted by the 156th edition of the Belmont Stakes Grade 1 on June 8th, 2024. The Belmont Stakes Racing Festival includes 23 stake races with purses totaling $10.1 million, the highest purse levels and number of stakes offered since the launch of the multi-day Belmont Stakes Racing Festival in 2014. And so what they're doing is they've created a situation where you can come up, you know, to Belmont for a couple of days there, for example, the 6th through the 9th. You know, that's 3 days of racing there. You're going to see top-end stake races and quality, you know, for 3 days. And it's going to be a real good festival, especially at Saratoga. Oh, Saratoga is the greatest place in the world. It's a festival up there for 30 days prior to that. Anyhow, the Belmont, you know, Saratoga, the month of August is really good. But now you get a little prelude to the month of August stake races on June 6th through the 9th. And so, you know, that'd be a nice little way to start your summer off. You go up to Saratoga, watch the racing, and then, you know, go back home and come back again, you know, another month or two later and see the regular meet at Saratoga. You know, I keep getting... It's blowing my mind. I've been in this business a long time. And now all of a sudden, you know, they've raised everything up to, you know, top-notch dollar-wise. You don't have to go anywhere outside this country to do that. Naira has increased the purse at Belmont from $1.5 million to $2 million in 2024, the first significant increase since 2014. The Preakness, unless the purse for the Preakness at Pimlico Race Car is similar in height, the Belmont will be the second richest of the Triple Crown races, which the Kentucky Derby will be $5 million this year. So, you know, that's good. You know, it's all about money, you know, and how do you get the money, you know, back into the industry. And you gotta do it. You gotta raise the purse money for the owners and the trainers. You just have to. You know, you just can't go along with the purse structure that they had 3 or 4 years ago. It's gotta be done and done now. And that's what's happened. That's what they're doing. They're getting right to it. And I was so excited because what I like about going to Saratoga, every day is like a weekend, like a Saturday or a Friday or a Sunday, because you got that good of racing, you know, that you're going to be seeing. And I don't know if you've ever been to Saratoga or not, but, boy, I tell you what, you get up early in the morning, you go, go, go all day long, and then you crash at night, and you do the same thing again the next day, and you're not even tired. You're just happy. You're in your happy place. Thursday, June the 6th, there's the Belmont Gold 2 Cup. It's a $250,000 up and at, for four and up on the turf, 2 miles. We have the Astoria Stakes. It's for two-year-olds. It's $150,000. It's on the dirt. It's 5.5 furlongs. And see that? Now, that's not a Derby prep race, you know, where you can get points. But, you know, if you got a good horse, it's not a bad little purse to pick up there, you know, to carry on towards the Triple Crown races. It's the Astoria Stakes on June the 6th. Two-year-olds on the dirt. And then they have the Jersey Girl. Never can figure this out. You know, it's the Jersey Girl Stakes. It's 6 furlongs on the dirt on the 6th of June. $150,000 added for filly 3-year-olds. And then we have another two-year-old race. It's 5.5 furlongs on the dirt, and it's $150,000. It's the Tremont Stakes. So that's really a good, you know, a good a week there that you're looking at. You know, coming through it. And then you jump over to Friday, June the 7th, and this is usually a race that's carded for Saturdays, but the race is called the New York. It's a $750,000 added on the turf and going a mile and 3/16. Then on the same day, the 7th, you have the Acorn Stakes. It's for 3-year-olds. It's $500,000 for fillies and mares. On the dirt, 1.8 miles. And then you have the Acorn, which is 500,000 3-year-old fillies on the dirt. I got the Just the Game, which is $500,000 fillies and mares for at 4-year-olds and up, going a mile on the turf. And then we have Intercontinental, $200,000 on the turf, 5.5 furlongs. For fillies and mares, 4 and up. So that's a good little race day, you know, on the 7th. And remember, now these are all between the 6th and the 9th. This is Belmont week. This is Belmont week that you're seeing all these races. And, you know, that's going to be a long day for you. On Saturday, June the 8th, they have the $3 million Belmont Stakes, 1.25 miles on the dirt. And see, they're backing that down to 1.25 miles because they're not down at Belmont. And it's kind of tough to run 1.5 mile race on Belmont on Saratoga's track because you'd have to position the gate, you know, and it's really difficult for them to do. So they cut it to a 1.25 mile, and everybody's happy with that because you trained a little different going for 1.25 miles. That's for sure. Then they got the Metropolitan Handicap, $1 million on the dirt going a mile. They got the $1 million Resort Toronto Casino. It's going 1.375 miles on the turf. We have the Ogden Phipps for fillies and mares, 4 and up on the dirt going 1.125 miles. We have the Jaipur coming at $500,000. For 3-year-olds and up, 5.5 furlongs. This is a good one. You see a lot of good horses in there, and the reason you do that is because these horses, they're not sprinters and they're not route horses. They're just right at that point to where they really get going when they hit that finish line, and they'll tell them what they'll be after that. But that's the Woody Stevens. That's a grade one, $500,000, 7 furlongs on the dirt. You know, and that whole weekend is just nothing but good stake races. You know, everything's like 100 to 200,000, 125,000. You know, it's really pretty cool. And then I always like to say, when you go to Saratoga, take the tour, take the backside tour. Go back and see what all they're doing back in the back, where you can get up close and personal with all the trainers. You can talk to people out there in person like me up at Saratoga, and it's really good. You'd be surprised all the celebrities that you see on the backside there at Saratoga and throughout the town during the day, but it's really good to go to. So now, we're at all this award banquets that we've had here over the last few weeks. You know, if you go to the website, I tell you what's really good is the Eclipse Awards, the 53rd Eclipse Awards. That really tells you who the trainers are and identifies the jockeys and, you know, and everybody. That's really a good little program to watch. You know, so it was now, boy, I tell you, I forgot all about this on the 23rd. We had the Longines World Racing Awards. That was on the 23rd. And that was a good program because it gets you into all the international programming. And, you know, we tend to forget that there's other horses out there besides, you know, what we have here in the United States, because we really don't hear that much about the international aspect of it. But it was a good program. It had a lot of good horses. A lot of the horses that won their honors were the ones that, you know, they thought would win. So that's a good program to watch on there out of our website. So now, this is the one that we've been waiting for a long, long time. I mean, we wait for the Derby, wait for the Preakness and the Belmont and the Breeders' Cup. But this race kind of really says it all. It gets horses from all over the world. You got jockeys from all over the world, owners from all over the world. And it's really, really a good project. It's the Pegasus World Cup Invitational Stakes. It's been held at Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach, Florida. It was inaugurated in 2017. It's a thoroughbred race. It's on a flat track. Let's see. The distance is a mile and an eighth. Surface is dirt. Left-handed turn. Four-year-olds and up. They each carry 124 pounds. And the purse is $3 million. That's a lot of money to go and run for there at, you know, at Gulfstream. In 2019, the Stronach Group partnered with ExpressBet to host the World Betting Championship with the total prize money of $435,000. The fourth World Cup to be run on January 25th, 2020, will carry a purse of $3 million. And that was good. You know, that was good for them. We had Arrogate set the track record in 2017 at a minute 46.8 seconds, 4 3/4 lengths, the winner. And, I mean, he was flying. I remember that day. Then we had the speed record. It's 146.8. It's held by Arrogate. Most wins, no horse has won the race more than twice. Most wins by a jockey, two Irad Ortiz. He'll be going for his third victory. And then most wins by a trainer, or Bob Baffert, he had two that won the Pegasus Invitational. So it's always exciting, you know, to see races like that. You know, I was just amazed. That Life is Good in 2022 with Irad Ortiz, he did very well as Todd Pletcher trained. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that thing comes out this year. It's a good weekend in racing, and it'll surprise you when you go out there and watch them. You know, and I'm telling you, it's going to be so good this weekend. Racing across America, I just don't know what to do. I do know one thing. When we're getting ready to talk about the Derby and the favorites and everything, and I'll tell you what I go by. You know, some people say, well, you know, he was a trainer for a long time. He was a breeder. He was an owner. He was a hot walker. You know, he's got all different angles, and I do. I've got all different angles. I've seen them from the bottom of the organization up to the top of the organization. And that makes a big difference. And people say I'm crazy, but when it comes down to it, I'm spot on. Now, to show you the importance and why these races are so important and why it's so important to keep our business going throughout the years. The thoroughbred horse employs a lot of people. Just a few of the many people employed by just one racehorse. And the following is, we have the track equipment dealer, the tack shop, we got the farrier, we got the equine massage therapist, physical therapist, we have the jockey valet, we have the jockey agent, and the jockey. For the owners and employers of the thoroughbred horse. They have horse breeding and training farms and all their employees. We have blood stock agent. We have auction house people. We have veterinarians. We have the farmer. We have feeding bedding dealers, racetrack employees. We have laboratory testing people, grooms, equine transportation, exercise riders. We have outriders and assistant trainers. So, you know, that's just a few of the handful that we have there for the horse industry. And it's so important because when you go to the track and you see, you know, 1,000 employees working every day, 7 days a week, and they come out of there and you just think about it, the economic boost they have to our community. You got 1,000 people working at Gulfstream or Churchill or, you know, what have you. How many of those people stop and get a coffee on their way into work or out of work? How many of those people stop and have lunch, stop and have breakfast before they go in? You know, they get gas, they get groceries, they get everything. You know, that's a lot of people there when you're talking about 1,000 people to the economic impact of your community. So, you know, help support the community by going out and seeing some racing. The Pegasus World Cup is something that, Stronach started, you know, back in 2017, and, you know, you want to get people out there to see them. It draws horses from all over the world. You know, Saturday, it's the 9th race on the card. I mean, the 13th race on the card at Churchill and Gulfstream. I'm getting all wound up here. It's at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. You can come to IENTV.org and you can see it. But just to give you an idea of what it's going to shape up and look like, we have horses from Pennsylvania, Chile, Kentucky, and Kentucky. And it just goes to show you that, you know, it's a wide range of people that we get in here to see the Pegasus. It's a $3 million purse going a mile and an eighth. For 4-year-olds and up. And I'm telling you, it's really got me puzzled, this race does. And we've got Sappy Joseph Jr., we got Todd Pletcher, Dallas Stewart, Vicki Oliver, George Weaver, Bob Baffert. He's the favorite with National Treasure in there. Got Brad Cox, we got Pletcher again. We got Sanyo Pletcher again and Sappy Joseph Jr. In there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with those horses. You have to tune in and see. And, you know, I tell you, when you start looking at these, there's one sheet that you can pull off the computer, and it tells you about the horse. For example, the number one horse, it will be Art Collector. It's by Bernardini and a Distorted Legacy. It's got Robbie Alvarado Jr. in the irons, trained by Belmont. And then the horse is just phenomenal. and that's Art Collector. He's a good old horse that's been there. He knows what to do. He knows how to take care of business. And then we come down, and this is a horse that's interesting. Bob's been sitting on it for a long time. It's defunded with RTs and the irons. He looks pretty doggone good, coming into this thing. So Stiletto Bull, boy, is another good horse. I'm telling you, he looks good. He's training good. I just don't know how good he's going to be, though. But, you know, when you sit here and you start looking at all these horses, and it goes through all the year, and I'm getting ready to tell you how to pick a horse in a minute here. Brad Cox has got Cyberknife in here, which back in his day was really getting good. We got a horse called Skippy Longstockings. I'll tell you, I just don't know about her or about him. How far he can go, if he can get it done. And then we have White Abario. He's got a new trainer, and we'll check into more on that later on today. So I tell you, we're looking at some real nice horses here. They've been very competitive all year long, and very rarely did they run into each other, on the way to the Pegasus World Championships. Very rarely did they come on there. We got a horse from Chile in here. We got Americans. We got all kinds of horses in there. And so that's going to be a good day on Saturday, the Pegasus. Tune into INTV.org and you'll be able to see them up there. What all is going on with them. And I tell you, folks, and there's so much here that's available, for you to go to in the equestrian industry. Let me tell you, it's going to be a real show down on Gulfstream on Saturday. I'm telling you, it's going to be, fancy dresses, hats. It's going to be everything you can imagine. It's going to be really good. And what I like about it is the way the seating is there and how they treat you. Gulfstream is really good. You can get all dressed up with your dirt, with your Pegasus hat or like a derby hat, with all your good shoes, your good clothes, you're going to meeting clothes on. And then all of a sudden you get there and you say, we'll go over and listen to the bands. We'll go over and do this. We'll go over and do that. And then it becomes a whole day. It's like a Disney World for the equine people that want to get into the business. It's really good. And so, I keep saying about how I pick horses for the Derby. And I've been pretty successful with them so far, working with them and, betting on them back in the day. There's a thing. The program comes out and it's got a handicapper. We got all kinds of shows on TV and the internet and in print about who is going to do what. Who is going to do what. And some of them are pretty good at, picking who they think is going to win the Derby. And every couple of weeks they have Byron King's Derby Dozen presented by Spendthrift Farm. And so I take that out and I look at it. And I go through it, and they kind of really get down to it. They talk about each one of the horses. We'll talk about Fierceness. It's owned by Repo Stable, and Todd Pletcher's a trainer. His pedigree is City of Light by Nona Bella by Stay Thirsty. The bloodline is there for a mile and a quarter. It's there. Says pulling off the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Kentucky Derby Grade 1 double is no easy task. Of the 39 others with that opportunity, only Street Sense and Nyquist have managed to successfully win both races. Two stakes were incredibly difficult races to win, as much as it can unfold in 6 months between them. And when you think about it, the Breeders' Cup and then the Derby, you got 6 months to get ready, but how do you keep your horse, you know, really tuned and tight? And you got to remember, coming into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you've got a young horse underneath you. And you don't know how his body's going to react and his mind's going to react to, you know, running and winning these kind of races. You know, that's the hard thing to do. You do just never do know, you know, how they're going to do. If it's going to take a lot out of them, if it takes out of their heart, you know, if it takes out of their mind. There's so many things that can happen there. You just got to remember that you got to get ready for the Kentucky Derby in Louisville, Kentucky. It's Churchill Downs. It opened in 1875. Capacity is 170,000 people that come to it. They've gotten to that close a few times. You know, that's going to be interesting to see. Then you got the Kentucky Oaks, the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, Stephen Foster Handicap, and the Clark Handicap. And these guys are really, really tough to nail down and win, you know, here. But back to the Derby Dozen. I'm getting off track here. The Derby Dozen is really good. It's presented by the Blood Horse Magazine and Spendthrift Horn. These guys are good at it. They look at these horses and they analyze them. Now, remember, here in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how I pick them and why I think that's the best way to go. Fierceness, owner, is the Repo Stable, trained by Todd Fletcher. And this is a well-bred horse and the Repo Stable farm bred this mare. One of the the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he got in there, got that done. And I mean, it was tough. Fletcher was pointing him for the February 3rd Holy Bull Stakes that's coming up. So that's going to be interesting to see how he does. He'll be lightly raced, but trained perfect like Todd has always done. I was like with Always Dreaming and Super Saver. That's how he got them to the Derby, and that's how they won. The second part of the Derby Dozen is a horse named Locked. And it's Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners and Walmack Farm International, trained by Todd Fletcher. So that's kind of an interesting. His third in the November 3rd Breeders' Cup Juvenile in Santa Anita Park was a quality performance, further off the earlier pace than expected. He took to the dirt like it was his own. He finished well and came out of the race real good. So, you know, there you go. Todd Fletcher trains horses. And I'm lucky because down here at Palm Beach Downs where they train at, you know, I can see them and I can see how they grow over a couple of months. And, you know, I can hear all the scuttlebutt going around about it. You know what he's doing, and I actually see what he's doing. So they can't you know sugarcoat it and say, oh well, he did good, but no, he didn't. You know, he didn't gallop out as good as he could, and so that's what you know they're looking at with him. You probably see him come up in a Sam Davis at Tampa Bay Downs on February the 10th. That's probably where you see him the next time out. Then Danny Gargan's got a horse called Darnage. And I tell you, he's a nice horse. He's really strong. He's got a long way to go. But, you know, he wins. He wins. And I think he's going to be pretty good at that. I don't know. It's kind of tough when you start getting down through here, you know, and you start thinking about, well, I go back and look at the races on TV, see what they did, how they did it. And the fourth place was a Track Phantom. He is a good horse. He's trained by Steve Asmussen. So you don't need to know any more about that other than the fact Steve's getting him ready for it. And so we'll see. He's at the fairgrounds. So now you see we're seeing horses from Gulfstream now to the fairgrounds. I tell you, he's going to be a good one. Another horse I like is Sierra Leone. It's a John Magger, Michael Tabor, Derek Smith, Westberg Rocket Ship Racing and Peter Brandt. Chad Brown's the trainer. You know, what can you say about this horse? He's consistent. He's solid. You know, he's getting educated, and he's not, and he's doing well. We'll say he's doing well. You know, you see a lot of horses get in this Derby dozen, and you see how fast they drop out of it. And so what I do is I normally mark down here, you know, that they've dropped out and why they dropped out. And then I keep that in the back of my mind. The horse I like, and I don't know how good he's going to get, you know, but it's just wait to be seen. And he's going to be a long shot. We're looking at Timberlake, Sienna Farms and One Star, trained by Brad Cox, and Into Mischief, Colt. And I'll tell you, he's going to be interesting to see. He finished fourth in the Champagne Stakes. He was the fourth place finisher in the Breeders' Cup. He's doing good. He's just doing good. So, you know, these are how they go through them. And every week they change. New ones come in. Some of these guys will be on this list forever. And, you know, you just don't know who it's going to be. You know, the interesting thing about this is Todd Pletcher's got Barn Noble in here. St. Elias Stable West Point Thoroughbreds. And, you know, he's a good horse. He's a good horse. Todd's got like five that he's pointing towards the Derby. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see what's going to be going on. And especially with this Bob Baffert deal. Churchill Downs has continued the ban of Bob Baffert from racing at its tracks and his horses from earning money in Kentucky Derby qualifying points, you know, positions. The odd thing about it is Bob's got to get rid of these horses to other trainers by January 29th, which is coming up, which will be Monday, and we'll see where he goes with them. You know, he's just had a long, hard battle with Churchill. And, I mean, it's been tough on him. Sometimes, you know, and I hate to say this, and I'm not anybody that you know, any merit that should say it, because Bob's done everything he could do. He's a good trainer. Him and Jill are good people. You know, Bob just has a situation where he just doesn't know when to shut up. And that's like it is with me. You know, I struggle to talk for an hour. And hell, when I'm out on the track in the morning, I talk all morning long. You know, but when I get under the gun, you know, like from a podcast and everything, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, you got to learn how to talk, and you got to learn what to say and what not to say and all. And I think that was Bob's problem. He had a lot of success, and I'm not saying that it went to his head. He won the Triple Crowns, and he's won the Derbies, and, you know, he's won just about everything, you know, but he can't win in court. And so finally, Bob has, you know, stepped back and said, okay, I'm dropping all my lawsuits against the state of Kentucky, the racetracks, or, you know, what have you, and, you know, I'm just going to see if I can survive, you know, from here on out. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Bob's going to come back really well-loaded with horses, and I think he's going to come back into Kentucky and New York and Maryland and Florida, and I think he's going to set the world on fire, because now he's going to be driven. He's going to realize that the more races that he wins, you know, whether it's an allowance race or a claiming race or a stakes race, you know, that just goes to show you that he does know what he's doing. But he's had to refine it, you know. And you got to remember, we're coming up here 2 months from the Derby. We got the Kentucky Derby, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with the Derby this year. I tell you what, this year is going to be the race that's been the most competitive. You're not going to be able to handle this race. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens, you know, here with it. And what I like about the 10 Days of Derby, these are some of the races that that you can see at Churchill Downs this summer. You got the Arlington Million, the Beverly D, the Churchill Downs Stakes, the Clark Handicap, Derby City, Distaff Stakes, Kentucky Derby, the Troyan, the Kentucky Oaks, the Turf Classic, the Alashiba, the American Turf Stakes, the Churchill Distaff. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Every day there's going to be a graded stakes race, you know, with the Churchill people there. And that's going to be good. But, you know, there's just so many ways that you can go to look at handicapping, you know, horse racing. And, you know, like I said, they come out and you got the Derby Dozen. You got a lot of these prognosticators and all these, people that know the horse business, They don't pick a winner, you know, and if we could all do that, you know, we'd be so rich, we wouldn't, you know, we'd be buying us a Derby horse. But this is how I do my Kentucky Derby picking. I look at all the gambling information on the Kentucky Derby, on what the sports betting world has out every week. They've got the top, you know, 50 Derby horses. And there's a lot of information that goes into it. And the most important thing, what I look at, is who's betting what. You know, that's going to give you an idea, because basically what I'm saying is you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of people betting on the Derby. It could be, Fierceness. It could be one of any of the 20 in there that they're betting on. But I always go through Las Vegas and watch it, because when you got a lot of people looking at a horse, then you know that you're getting close. You know, the more eyes you have on a horse, the more information you have on a horse, the better your educated guess could be. Not saying it's going to be right all the time, because there are going to be a lot of long shots in there. But what I do is I go through the books in Las Vegas. I don't bet them, but I just go through the books and watch who's coming in and out of the Derby Dozen. So what I'll do is, this was the first Derby Dozen that came out this week. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over this weekend. I will get on the internet, and I'll go to the websites of the books that are booking all the Derby horses that they do every year. And I'm going to go through, and I'm going to take this Derby Dozen. If Fierceness is the one that everybody's betting on, he's going to get a number one rating. A horse I think that might not get a lot of money is Locked, a stable mate. He might, you know, drop down to fourth or fifth on my sheet. But I just see where the money's going on him and how it's being bet, you know, and that type of thing. And especially at this stage and point, you know, this is early betting. This is early betting. So you got a lot of people that are betting that might have a little knowledge. You know, why are they betting him now? You know, and then we'll see how he goes in his next time out, which will be probably the Holy Bull, you know, is where he'll start. So I'll see how many people bet on him at the Holy Bull. And, you know, just kind of go from there and see what happens. But what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. And, you know, I can't sit down with all of them and say, hey, well, why do you like him? Why don't you like him? You know, I can't do that. But to cut to the chase is they answer all my questions about that horse when I see how much money they're betting on the horse. In the Florida Derby, in the Holy Bull, in any of these prep races. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you see, $100,000 being put on this horse, you know, to show. That tells me that, you know, this horse is going to be a serious contender. But at the end of the day, and you get that last Derby dozen that'll come out here in about, about 4 weeks. I mean, 8 weeks. We'll find out who's there. But what I'm saying is you got all these people that have knowledge of the business. And for some reason or another, they're putting money on this horse, you know, for the Derby. And they're putting them on this, you know, for the prep races. And heck, you know, they might come in here and, you know, run up the track, you know, in the Holy Bull, you know, and then come back and win the Derby. But I follow the money. I follow the money because all their brains are being put together. Their education of gambling and the horse business is all being put together at one time on one bet. And I like that. That tells me a lot. You know, if you got, you know, $1 million being bet on him in a Holy Bull, you know, then you know that horse is the real deal. And so then I wait for the next Derby dozen to come out, and I'll see how much that list has changed, who dropped off of it, who's still on it, who moved up, who didn't. You know, and that tells me everything, and it's the greatest thing in the world. It's Byron King's Derby Dozen, presented by Spendthrift Florin. And you can go to the Blood Horse, and you can see it on the Blood Horse. And I like to watch those top 12 because I'll be honest with you, at this stage and point of the year, those top 12 aren't going to change too much. It could, but, you know, I doubt it because they're in a position now to where they got two more races before the Kentucky Derby. Two more races they're going to have to run these guys before the Kentucky Derby. Maybe three at the most, but for sure two. And that Derby dozen tells me a lot. You know, I don't know if you know who's betting what and how much money is going in. And the other thing is too, I always like to see, you know, what part of the country the money comes from. And that's always interesting, you know, to see what happens. But it's going to be a good time to the Derby. It's coming up, like I said, in a couple of months here. About 100 days, I think it is. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what all is going on, you know, with it. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Go to ChurchillDowns.com, and you can see exactly, you know, what they got coming up. And like I said, you know, you can go to my website and go down to Churchill Downs, go to intv.org, you know, and click on, go down, scroll all the way down to the bottom. And it'll tell you, you'll see Churchill Downs, and it's really good. The journey starts here, and it starts with the owner. But, you know, you click onto that, and it'll take you right to the Churchill Downs website. You can kind of plan out your little vacation or, you know, when you're going to go or how you're going to do it and everything. And I tell you, you know, like I said, I was in 17. There in Churchill Downs for 17 Kentucky Derbies. And I was with some big gun horses, you know, when we were there. Some of them won, some of them didn't. You know, most of them didn't, but some did. But the most exciting thing about it was is that, you know, I was part of the Kentucky Derby. It was great to be a part of the Kentucky Derby. The dream was alive, you know, that's how they get there. You know, it's just a chance of a lifetime and a lifetime of chance. And it's the life that lives up to the Derby, not the Derby that you remember. But I really had a good time not going to the Derby because I could stay at home. I could barbecue. I can do all the things, have the friends over, and not have to worry about, you know, working till 8 o'clock that night after the Derby and then being back at the barn at 4:30 in the morning. You know, so, well, that's it for this week, folks. I just kind of rambled on here, and, you know, had a good time. I don't play golf, so it's cheaper to do a podcast than it is to play golf. So if you got anything you want to put on a podcast, give BBS and the boys there a call. Tell them Scotty sent you. Talk to you next week on the International Equine Report.